Hi, welcome to the third video in the Quick Start series, migrating your apps from Windows Phone 7 to Windows 8. In this video, we're going to be looking at data binding. So in the first Quick Start, we talked about setting up our project, our migration project from Windows Phone. In the second video, we talked about handling asynchronous data. So now that we have that well-formatted data, how do we go and make sure that our project is really set up to handle the binding correctly? In Windows 8, data binding has really been pushed to the forefront, right? I mean, in Silverlight WPF, we might have used it, we might not have used it too much based on what type of apps we were writing. But in Windows 8, it really seems to have been optimized this way. It's really part of the paradigm of developing applications in Windows 8. Things seem to be optimized to support MVVM much better, right? They're optimized to support data binding. So if you're familiar with data binding before, a lot of this should be familiar to you here. Let's go ahead and see how it's implemented. Now, if we want to look at data binding in Windows 8, I would suggest starting off again, going through one of the basic templates. In our case, we'll go ahead and we opened up a new project. We're opening up a sample template that gives a starter code, in this case, the grid app. So, as we've mentioned before, if you open up a standard template, you get a lot of great things out of the box. In this case, we'll be looking at bindable base. But you also get things such as layout aware page, which comes in. So as we've mentioned also, all Windows 8 applications, they start off and they first go into AppXAML. And in this case specifically, AppXAML gets instantiated and the onLaunched function is called. We've gone over this on both setting up the project and on setting up our data on Quick Starts videos 1 and 2. We want to look at here though, as we start and see how the data binding is handled. In Khan Academy, we created our data source off of app proper. In this example, they're creating the data source off of the main page and then handling everything from there. So let's see how they go ahead and do that. Once app gets called and the onLaunched function is called, we see the navigation occurring here to their main page. In this case, their main page is called Grouped Items page right here. And here we see the navigation as we've gone over. The frame navigates to type of grouped items page. In this case, passing in a string, all groups. Grouped items page is the first page that launches, that app loads up when you launch this application. Here we see what it's doing visually. It's creating a group of items. So we see multiple groups. Every group is made up of various data items. But more interestingly, let's look and see what's happening in the code. When app loads it up, it's calling the loadState function off of our grouped items page, saml.cs. It is here in the demos that the grouped items page, saml, creates its own data source. In this case, sample data source. Again, if you're new to either asynchronous data or you're new to data binding, study these templates. There's so much good information here to learn. So sample data source, maybe you've never set up a data source before. You'll find that here under your data model folder, sample data source. You know that they're going to have a get groups. Let's see what's happening in these two lines. When grouped items page comes in, it creates its data source, passing in what type of groups it wants. In this case, it was all groups. So it's going to return all the groups of its data source. And then it's going to set that returned groups observable collection, enumerable collection here, into its default view model groups. So there's a lot of stuff going on in these two lines of code. Let's break it down and see what's going on. So first, if we go to sample data source to look at the function, we find a couple things of interest if we look at the data source. First off, here's our sample data source, and it has defined inline also the data group and the data item. Now, just as we've done in Khan Academy, both of these inherit from a generic sample data common. Now the important part here is sample data common itself inherits from, once again, another feature brought to us if we start off with the template. Off of our common folder, there's a class that gets pre-made for you called bindable base. Now bindable base has a lot of goodies in there. It says bindable base that is taking care of all the work of setting up the INotify property change to basically get a class that's properly bindable. All that work is now done for you out of the box if you start off with a template and you leverage this common folder. This bindable base comes in, you get to see how a data source is set up using bindable base as its kind of root class, and then creating groups and items that inherit off of the sample data common, which in turn inherits from bindable base. So sample data source comes in. We know that all of the elements will be bindable. The UI will be able to bind to them simply because they're coming from bindable base. What we're doing here is we're now creating an observable collection so they can be bound. The collection itself can be bound. A bindable collection of bindable objects is basically what we're setting up here. So this validates that the data source that we're having, everything is properly set up so that our UI can bind to it if we do that binding properly. But here's how you do it. Now, if we come back, you'll also notice that grouped items page, if we look up to the very top, it also inherited from another class that came in our commons folder called the layout aware page. If you come to layout aware page, again, just like bindable base, layout aware page comes pre-populated in a commons folder every time you start your project off of one of the templates. Great, great helper classes to have. Layout aware page does a lot of things such as handling page orientation, hooking up those events, right, rotation, all these types of things. But one thing that you might miss on first glance is right over here. Besides all of the registering for the events and orientations, all these types of things, it also has this great line of code right here. Creates a this.default view model is a new observable dictionary, creates a very simple view model, observable dictionary made up of a string and an object. So this is the guy that comes with layout aware page. So since our grouped items page inherits from layout aware page, that's why once we have an observable collection of content, in this case sample data groups, we then set that into the default view model with the heading groups. So this is right out of the box. You can instantiate from a template. You don't have to use their, obviously you don't have to use their grouped items page. We didn't use it in Khan Academy, but we used the exact same structure. We made sure that our main page inherited from layout aware page. So out of the box, it would have this view model baked into it. We duplicated how they handled their data source using and leveraging that bindable base as the real root of all the data so that it would be really this easy. We create a data source, populated an observable collection so it's bindable, make sure the objects inherit off of bindable base. That's all good to go. Once you load up your data source, throw it into your default view model, and then you're good to go that way. So this is how all that asynchronous data we covered in the last video, this is how it comes in, now becomes a bindable source of information. Under all templates in Windows 8, they follow the same basic logic structure. Now, if we see what happens from here, this default view model, again, it's called groups. We have this bindable collection. Now let's go and see what's happening on the XAML side. The secret to all this stuff, and again, we see here that the page itself is made up of a grid view, and we see that here, this grid view that's going on, that it's logically visualizing these groups somehow. Let's see how that works. You see this grid view, it's coming in, and it's item source. It's being bound to a static resource called grouped items view. I'm going to say what's going on here, because I thought our item source was off of our default view model groups, right? Why aren't we binding directly to that? Well, the little magic here on a grid view is you really need it to bind to this grouped items view source. You're wondering what that is? Let's scroll up to the top of the page. It's a static resource. Right up here under our page resources, we see our grouped items view source. We find out that it's a collection view source. This is kind of the middleman between the collection, the observable collection of items that you have, and binding straight to the UI element. You want to have this view source, which lets you creates this intermediate level that allows you to filter and sort on certain aspects of that observable collection. So instead of binding straight raw to the data, you get to properly format it and filter it if you leverage this collection view source resource. And that's exactly what this template does. It's also what you'll see us doing in the Khan Academy app. So we create a collection view source. Here you see that it's bound to our groups off of our view model. It has its name, grouped item views. And here we get to say, hey, you know what? Our data, you can group it, so we can start setting those flags. Is source grouped equal to true, right? We get to set up the item paths, etc. So once grid view comes in, it's looking for its item source off of that view collection. That view collection in turn is bound to our observable collection of groups, but it's taking the extra step of going ahead and grouping that for us. So it makes everything, once you kind of understand how these small finite pieces move around and interact with each other, once you kind of get it, it actually becomes very easy to do. But this initial time, the first time you're working with it, you have a couple different plates, you got to figure out what's going on. A lot of this might be new, again, coming from Silverlight or WPF. This might not have been the way you've been exposed to it, but once you kind of really understand how the pattern here works, it makes things a lot easier. So we have our observable collection of bindable objects. We have a view source. Grid view then sets up its item source to it, and real time we get to have the effects working straight from here. So this is how it is on the app sample. Now I want to go ahead and see how this actually relates to the code that hopefully you've downloaded for the Khan Academy, for the viewer for Khan Academy app, and let's see how this is instantiated in that project here. So there are a couple differences in our Khan Academy app. And again, let's go in our Khan Academy app, unlike the template sample, we chose to instantiate the Khan data source object off of app. So here we go. When app XAML first gets fired on Khan Academy, the viewer for Khan Academy, the launch app is called, and then right away we create our Khan data source. So our Khan data source has already been populated before we go ahead and call in our hub page right here. So when by the time we're navigating the hub page, we're throwing in our data source, specifically the topic groups that we spent the last quick start going through how we created those topic groups in the populate groups call. And now that we know that the information is bindable, we've used the exact same strategy. Topic groups is an observable collection of elements. Those elements, at the end of the day, have all inherited off of bindable base we found on our common folder. So if we come over to how that's happening on the hub page, XAML CS, again, we'll see that, sure enough, our hub page also instantiates from layout aware page. So when its load state is called, we know that it will already have a default view model that we can set it as long as we set it to an observable collection. And since we passed in our data source as a parameter, specifically we had passed in topic groups, the observable collection topic groups from our data source. When hub page gets fired up, this topic groups is come in. It's cast again as an observable collection of topic items. Recall every topic is made up of playlists. Each playlist is made up of videos. So at the highest level, this observable collection of topics is brought in, called items. And then this items is what's set as our groups in our local default view model. Just as we saw on the template, if we go to the XAML of hub page, we'll see that we also have set up a collection view source. We see that it's bound to that groups, right? That groups tag of our groups tag of our default view model. And here we are then using collection view source to go ahead and group, bindably group those collection of topics that we brought in here. So now that we have our collection view source set up, if we come down to our grid, our zoomed in view, which is our default view, and we'll look at zooming in a couple subsequent videos. But if we look at our primary grid that we see, our grid, we'll see that its item source, sure enough, is that grouped items view. So we're seeing that in our Khan Academy, our video for Khan Academy, we're leveraging the exact same strategy that you see implemented in any of the templates that you open up from Visual Studio. Again, those templates, tremendously valuable for learning what's going on. There is one other difference, though, between our application and the simple template, and that is, if you run it, we really wanted to instantiate this hub view, which means that some topics come in, such as this news and noteworthy. Many of our topics are these high-level concept topics made up of playlists, so clicking on this cube, I actually have to go to a page that shows me the playlist, you know, the videos for that playlist. If I click on the header topic itself, I'm not going to playlists, but I'm going to a collection of playlists, not a collection of videos. But at the very front, for visual differentiation, some of the videos we really wanted to call out. So while most elements on the screen, these elements all represent playlists, some of these larger elements that we wanted to have that had more a more graphical footprint, right? These are actual videos. Now, these are all being handled by that same observable collection. It's the way we set up our grid view. So how are we going to set up a grid view so that some groups are made up of videos that so that when you click that element, you'll go to the video page. But if you click another element, for example, you click on this element, you want to go to that playlist page. So let's see how that was implemented over here in our code. So you'll see that here's the grid view. We've bound to that collection. And then here is where our handler is. Whenever an item, any item, is clicked, right, we're going to come here. So let's go ahead and see how we're able to do that. Navigate to the event handler. And here we can see the solution. The object that's clicked, since we've set all this up properly with data and binding, when it comes in, you can filter it out. The clicked item comes in. We can get the type of it. If it's type of playlist, then you want to navigate to the detail page that will show the videos for that playlist. If you click directly on a video, though, off the main page, then you want to navigate to the video player page, right? The video page. So this is the way here that you can filter off of the click element. If you happen to be in the scenario as we were, where we want to create a hub page where you have columns of different types of content. It's not always playlists. You might want to actually show off some videos. Make sure you handle that click event properly based on checking the type of the element being called. We see in both cases, though, if I go to item detail page, I still need to send in my clicked item. Remember, my clicked item is a playlist, and a playlist itself is an observable collection of videos. So if I come to this item detail page, I'll see that I've passed the playlist object as a parameter. So my playlist is now coming in as my element right here. And so locally, I'm doing the exact same thing. I don't have to bind to the very high-level topics. I've just passed in one playlist, but I treat it the same way. I create a playlist item. I grab that parameter. And then I bind it to my item detail pages group as a playlist so that this item detail page then shows a collection of videos. So we see it's the exact same logic that goes in again and again and again, right? You have observable collections. Sometimes if you have to tier that architecture, observable collections of observable collections, each time you might have a clickable item on one page going in and actually being your group collection in a farther down nested page. So if you want the simple application, if you're new to this, start with the templates. Look and see how they do that data binding. Really, you really get the value for what that common folder gives you with layout aware page, the baked in MVVM, the common folder with bindable base, how all that stuff is set up, and just leveraging observable collections out of the box. Really make sure that you can set this data up quickly and easily so that your UI can bind to it. That's what we explored in this video. Now in our next video, now that we have all these elements binding to the correct data, how do we go ahead and make sure that it's visually presented in a way that we want? That's the topic for the next video. So let's go ahead and jump there once you're ready for it. Thanks. Thank you.